So I'm going to ask us just to stand to our feet just for the reading of God's word, just in this moment. And we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And today we're going to finish the series that we've been in here at our church. If you're new here, we've been in this series for the past 2 weeks called Joy to Your World, because Jesus didn't come just to bring joy to the world. He also wants to bring joy to your world. He wants you to know that he came that you would have his joy. In this season of Christmas, it's also known as the Advent season, which that word simply means arrival or the coming of something or someone. And so we celebrate the Advent, the arrival of Jesus during this time, looking at his birth. And in a few moments, you may have noticed that when you walked in, you got a candle. And in a few moments towards the end of service, we're going to have a special candlelight moment where we begin to reflect on how Jesus is the light of the world. And if you didn't get one, just raise your hand and our team will make sure that you get one. But in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8, here's what it says. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy." Everybody say joy. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say joy. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Verse 10 says, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." So I want to just share just for the next few moments before we are dismissed out of here and before you go home and finish watching 25 Days of Christmas on Freeform, and, you know, some of y'all got the turkey ready and, you know, it's being prepared. You walked out of there by faith praying the house doesn't blow down, burn down, but you had to get here because you had to hear about Jesus. But I want to just preach from this theme and thought today, the bundle of joy. The bundle of joy. I want you to ask the person beside you, do you have the joy bundle? You have the joy bundle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and your grace. We thank you for who you are and for all you have done. We thank you for sending Jesus. He is joy to our world. Would you speak to us and encourage us in these few moments in Jesus' name? And everyone said, amen. The bundle of joy. You know, one of the things that I remember when our kids were born, I constantly remember having many conversations with people, and they would say things like, "Congratulations on your new bundle of joy." And I always thought that was pretty cool, because I remember when they were born and holding them in my arms and, like, looking at them, the only thing I could do was just smile. Like, they hadn't done anything except maybe cry a little bit, you know, out of the womb and all that, cry when they were hungry. But it was just so cute, right? And now, you know, they're older. How old are y'all? I'm sorry. 9, 7, and 5. Some of y'all are like, "Oh my gosh, Pastor." But now, you know, obviously they're not at the size where I could hold them, and so now I have to resort to my daughter's little doll babies to pretend that I have a bundle of joy that I can hold. But one of the things that I remember so much about when they were born was not just being able to look in their eyes and just appreciate God's grace on their lives and how, looking at their features and how beautiful they were, but just also to be able to see how wrapped in swaddling cloths and clothes, if you will. Now, I wasn't the best at swaddling, I'm going to be honest with you. Our kids would always get out at any time I would swaddle them up. I needed like a swaddling for dummies book to be able to probably swaddle them. But it was always really cool to be able to hold them and to be able to look at them. And some of you all might be familiar with that. Maybe you've held a baby before. Maybe it was your own baby. Maybe it was someone else's baby. And I'm going to encourage you just to go to Target and find somebody who has a baby and say, "Hey, can I hold your baby? I just want to know what it feels like to have a bundle of joy." I'm not saying do that. That might not go over well. But if you've ever held a baby, you'll notice how close you feel to the baby. And you start making weird noises. Oh, you're so cute. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Noises that just would not be acceptable in any other setting, right? Because you're filled with so much joy. And when I think about that, I think about here in Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, in the first part of chapter 2, we look at how Mary has now given birth to Joseph. Notice I didn't say Mary and Joseph, or rather, Mary gave birth to Jesus. I didn't say Mary and Joseph gave birth to Jesus. I said Mary gave birth to Jesus because, you know, one person was the one that was pushing the child out. Now both, you know. And so a lot of times us husbands would like to say, yeah, you know, when we gave birth, when we had our child, no. Wife did that. The mom did that. But when we see this in Luke chapter 2, the earlier part of that, you see how Jesus is born and how God has fulfilled of everything that he promised to happen to Mary and Joseph. But now by the time you get to the second portion of Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to about verses 20, the scene shifts from Mary, Joseph, and Jesus to these people that we know as shepherds who are in this field. And I find it to be very interesting because shepherds back in that day and time did not have the most positive of reputations. Shepherds back then in those times were dirty, smelly. They were not the most visually appealing to the eye because of their occupation, because they took care of sheep. Their whole livelihood was relegated to getting dirty, to herding sheep, to running here and to running there. Tending the flock was not oftentimes the most popular occupation. It could sometimes be mundane. It could sometimes be monotonous. It could sometimes be repetitive. And shepherding was one of these things that nobody would typically sign up for. Shepherds were considered to be the outcasts of society. Shepherds were considered to be people that were not trustworthy at all back in this day and time. But it's interesting that out of all the people that God chooses to announce for the first time that Jesus is born, he does not go to a palace to announce it. He does not go to people who are rich and lucrative to announce it. He does not go to the socially acceptable by community standards to announce it. He goes to people who are in a low position to announce this news of great joy. Now, what's also interesting is here in verse 8, it talks about how there were shepherds in the field watching their flock at night. Everybody say at night. Now, whenever you read scripture, you always want to pay attention to every single word that's mentioned here. Because it's easy just to kind of gloss over the fact that they were here at night. But what the principle that I believe God is trying to help us to see here is that God wants to meet us in our dark places. That the shepherds found themselves in this dark place. Biblically speaking, dark is oftentimes associated with brokenness or evil or shame or pain or spiritual darkness far from God. As a matter of fact, a few days ago on December 21st is what was known as the winter solstice, which means it was the shortest day in terms of daylight of the year, and it was the longest night in terms of darkness of the year. Isn't it interesting that for hundreds and hundreds of years, we are celebrating Jesus, the light of the world, during what is arguably the most darkest time of the year. So now, when God sends his angel to the shepherds who are here in the field at night, it is almost to say that God wants to bring light to dark places. Because I think like the shepherds, many of us may find ourselves in dark places. You're going through life, and it feels dark right now. Some of you didn't even feel like coming here today. It took everything you had to muster up strength to come here. You're watching right now online, and nothing in you wanted to do this because you're in a dark place right now. Maybe you've experienced some loss of some kind, loss of a job or loss of a relationship or loss of a loved one. Maybe you're experiencing some physical pain or some emotional pain, some psychological or mental pain right now. Some of us, many of us, may be in a dark place right now. And maybe we're in a dark place, maybe due to some sin in our life or due to some shame in our life or due to a stronghold or whatever it is. But it feels like it's just dark. How many of you guys, just by show of hands, just so I can see I'm in good company, how many of y'all have ever felt like you were in a dark place before? Where it seems like nothing was working the way you wanted it to. Where it seems like everything was falling apart. Where it seems like everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
But what's encouraging about this passage is in verse 9, it says, in spite of them being at night watching over their flock, verse 9 says, then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them in verse 9, don't be afraid. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. What is the glory of the Lord? The glory of the Lord in this context, it means the very presence of God. And all of heaven is now open and invading this dark place. So it has literally gone from dark to light, which is why the shepherds, who don't oftentimes get afraid of many things because they've seen all types of things, they are afraid because what they're seeing is otherworldly. But the principle that God, I believe, wants us to see is how God is concerned about bringing light to our dark places. He has a desire to light up the dark areas of our life. If you look all throughout Scripture, there's this constant theme of light and dark. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible talks about how in the beginning was God. And it talks about how the world was formless and it was empty and it was dark. But then God spoke and said, let there be light. And then light came about. I came here to let us know today that God wants to bring light to your dark situation. I don't know what kind of dark situation you're walking through right now, but I want to let you know right now that God sent me on assignment here on this Christmas Eve to let you know that no matter how dark it is, that heaven has an answer for the darkness that you find yourself in, and the answer to that darkness has a name, and his name is Jesus, because he's called the light of the world, and he's come to bring light to dark places, no matter what it is, no matter what you're wrestling with, no matter what you're dealing with. He has come to bring light to your dark places. I'll say it like this. I want you to write it down, maybe take it with you. Just if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this, that in times of darkness, Jesus always shows up. In times of darkness, Jesus always shows up. And some of you are walking through it right now, and you've been asking the question, is it ever going to change, and is it ever going to get better? And I'm here to let you know that Jesus is right with you in the middle of your darkness. That it doesn't matter what you're walking through right now, it's not too dark for Jesus, who's considered to be the light of the world. And some of you all are here today. You've walked through some dark moments of your life. You've lived through some dark seasons of your life where you did not know how you were going to make it. But then all of a sudden, Jesus showed up and he brought light to it. And he brought encouragement to it. And he brought hope to it. And he brought love to it. And he brought grace to it. Come on. Is anybody here tonight that can testify that when you were in a dark place, Jesus showed up? Jesus always shows up in dark times. And when Jesus shows up, he doesn't just bring light. You know what he also brings? He brings joy. Everybody say joy. Because he desires not just to bring joy to the world, he desires to bring joy to your world. He wants to bring joy to your world. And when he brings joy, y'all, it comes in a bundle. You know, one of the things I love about certain deals is I don't like the deals where it's like, you know, you just buy one thing. But I love the deals that are bundled together. It's like, buy two, get one free. Don't y'all like that? I need that type of grace in my life. Two for the price of one. I'm here to let you know that when Jesus brings joy, there's many things that come with it, not just one thing. It's bundled together with so much. It doesn't just come with love, but it also comes with peace. It also comes with hope. It also comes with perseverance. It also comes with provision. And this joy bundle, as we see here in this text that I want to give us, it has these three dimensions that I want to kind of help us to see. Number one, it helps us to see that joy is personal. Meaning this, that the joy that Jesus gives, it's not just for the person around you. It's also for you. Somebody say, for me. It's for me. In other words, Jesus says, I want you to have this joy for yourself. So look at what the scripture says in verse 9. When the angel shows up, the Bible says the angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy. I proclaim to you, it's very personal. I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Then in verse 11, it says, today in the city of David, a Savior was born. For who? For you. Somebody say, for me. Which means, y'all, Jesus didn't just come for the world. He came for your world. He didn't just come to bring joy to everybody else. He came to bring joy to you. And some of us in here, the reason why we need to hear that is because when you hear the word joy, or even when you hear things like happiness and things of this nature, you may say things and believe this lie of the enemy that says you can never have joy, that your life will always be like it is. But Jesus says, no, I've come that you might have joy. I was born for you. Thank God that the baby's giving me some amens, because I'm not getting a whole lot today. The Bible says, and a child will lead them. How fitting tonight, right? I want to encourage us to let us know that Jesus says, I came for you. You who are brokenhearted, you who are grieving, you who are mourning, you who are confused, you who are discouraged, I came for you. My joy is personal. And I love it that it's not just general, but it's also personal, which means it's adaptable, which means it doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter what my color is. It doesn't matter what my background is. It doesn't matter how much money I make or how much money I don't make. It doesn't matter how I vote or how I don't vote. It doesn't matter where I live or where I don't live. His joy is personal, and it's for me. It's personal. I love this, which is why Nehemiah 8:10 says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your strength. It's for you. Which means even if you're in a dark place right now, a stressful place, I want you to know that the joy of the Lord is for you. Psalm 51 verse 12 says it like this. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Restore the joy of your salvation to me. Your joy, restore it to me. But I also want you to know this, that not only is Jesus' joy personal, it's also accessible. I'm going to try my hardest not to stay on this point for the next few moments, because I think out of all the things I'm going to share today, this is my favorite, and here's the reason why. Because when we look back at the scripture, back here in Luke chapter 2, I want you to look at verses 15 through 18. When the angels had left them, because after this moment, the angels were, they themselves were rejoicing because of Jesus coming into the world. It's a Holy Ghost party, y'all. Like the Bible says in verse 13, that there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angels praising God. It's probably thousands, maybe even millions of angels right now. And they are lit. Litty right now. That the King of Kings did what they didn't even think was possible. He stepped out of eternity and came to earth as a baby. They're like, fam, he did it again. He blew our minds again. And all of heaven is rejoicing. But then you get to verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. When the angels had left them, talking about the shepherds and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 16. They hurried off and found Mary, both Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. Once you look at verse 16, it says, they hurried off, they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Because what's happening here is following this announcement from the angels and all of heaven rejoicing over the birth and arrival of King Jesus, the shepherds now quickly go to Bethlehem. But notice what their word says. Let's go down here and see about Bethlehem to see what the Lord has made known to us. In other words, the Lord has made this available for us. It's not sold out. You know, one of the most stressful things that you can find yourself walking through is when you go to a store and you're doing last minute Christmas shopping, and I may not be telling on myself, and I may be telling on myself right now, but you go to the store and you're looking to find something and it's sold out. Anybody had that happen to you this week? Come on, let's tell the truth, shame the devil. Some of y'all stressed out right now because you're like, I still can't believe how I did that. I don't know what I'm going to get this person. Stores are closed. Pastor, hurry up and finish the service so I can go somewhere and get something. But I wanted to let you know that the joy of Jesus is accessible to you. It never sells out. And it's always in proximity for you to receive. Which is why the shepherds say, let us go to Bethlehem and see about this very thing that the Lord has made known to us. But then verse 16, here's where it gets good. They hurried off. They found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, the reason why this is so huge, again, y'all, is because remember, we're talking about shepherds. And one of the other things that shepherds were considered was ceremonially unclean, which means this: they could not go into temples and worship. And because of their occupation, they more than likely could not go into other places of prestige. Why is that so important? Because they're despised. They're not allowed to go into these highly prestigious places. They're social outcasts. Why is that important? Because Jesus was not born in a palace. He was not born in a temple. He was not born behind gold fences and a golden gate. Jesus was born in a lowly manger. A manger is a feeding trough where animals would feed, where animals would eat. It stunk in there. No. It didn't stink. It stank in there. It had a crazy odor in there. This was not a place that you would know. This is not a place where a baby would be ideally to be born. But why did God allow this to happen? To help us to understand that it does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the outcast of society. I've come down to earth to make myself accessible and available for you, no matter who it is that you are. So let me say it like this. Jesus came to the low place to get people who found themselves in a low place. He came to a low place, meaning earth, to get people like shepherds who found themselves in a low place. And the good news of Jesus is this today, that if you find yourself in a low place, I'm here to let you know that the joy of Jesus is accessible to you. It's available to you. You can go get it. It's right in with arm's reach, that you don't have to go far to find it. Jesus is available. And it doesn't matter who you are. And I know for some of us in here, we came in here thinking that, man, I don't even know why I'm here, because I feel like I could get struck by lightning because of the things that I've done. I don't deserve to be in here. Can I encourage you with this? Get in line, because none of us do. Because all of us are like these shepherds. Come on, let's be honest. Come on, I know it's Christmas Eve, and you all nice and dressed up, and you got your makeup all did, you know, not done but did, and you got the fresh hair, and you got all that. But let's just be honest, just like the shepherds, you got some dirt in your life. You got some dirt on your life. But Jesus says the good news of the gospel is he's not allergic to dirt, because what his blood does is his blood washes away the dirt called sin, and he makes us new, and he turns us into new creature. And I just want to know, is anybody grateful, and can anybody testify to the fact that Jesus stepped into my dirty situation and cleaned me up? Because it's easy to think that you got to come to Jesus a certain way. That I'll come to Jesus when I clean myself up. And I'm here to let you know that you can't clean yourself up enough to get to Jesus. But the good news of Jesus is that you don't have to clean yourself up to come to him. But rather, when he comes to you, he'll clean you up for yourself. That's the good news of Jesus. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. It doesn't matter what you've been carrying. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your family lineage is. It doesn't matter what your parents were like. It doesn't matter what your grandparents were like. It doesn't matter the strongholds and the generational curses that might have been present in your life that have invaded your life today and have impacted you today. I'm here to let you know that Jesus came so that way you and I could draw close to him, so that way you and I could take a peek at him, so that way you and I could experience him for ourselves, so that way you and I could have relationships. So here's what Psalm 145 says. The Lord is near all who call out to him. All who call out to him with integrity, meaning with an open heart. So can I encourage us with this? That even though you may feel far from Jesus, Jesus is not far from you. And some of us, because of the things that we've said and done, we feel far from him. We feel as if we're not loved. But God says, I want to prove to you how much I love you. And the way I prove that is by sending my son to this earth. So the Bible says in Romans 5 and 8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One theologian says that the reason why Jesus came to earth was to die so that we might have life. So if you feel far from Jesus, the good news is he's not far from you. He makes himself available. I say it like this, that joy is available for us because Jesus was made available to us. The reason why you can have joy is because Jesus is the embodiment of joy. And because he's always available, joy is always available. So this is why we open up this service singing, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And y'all, I'm going to be real with y'all. I don't got to look throughout all the pages of Scripture to see how the arrival of Jesus can transform situations. I can look at my own life and see how Jesus stepped into my life and changed my life. He took me from one path of life and put me on another path of life. He allowed me to do a 180, meaning I was going in one direction but turned in another direction. Jesus, when he steps into lives, he changes lives. And that's what these shepherds experienced. I want y'all to go back about 2,000 years and visualize it with me. I had this image on the screen, I think, for our team. I don't know if you guys can pull it up, but it's the scene of a manger. And in this scene of a manger, you see these, now it's not really that clear. But but in the background, you see with the shepherds, and they're peering into the manger and into the place where Jesus is. And how fitting is it and how incredible is it that God came down and he allowed himself to be put in a manger so all could see. How crazy is this? That God could have chose to come down in any other way. He could have came down as a full-blown grown man. But he came down as a baby in Christ. And what do you do with the baby? You hold the baby. You hold the baby close. Maybe Jesus is trying to tell us, hey, I want you to draw close to me. I've made myself available so that we could be close. You know, one of the things that I remember about when our kids were born, one of the things that the nurses told my wife was immediately after giving birth, which was a traumatizing experience for all of us, myself included. I have things in my mind that I will never be able to unsee. The miracle of childbirth. Y'all realize that miracles are oftentimes messy. Y'all thought it was just a pretty sterile environment with Mary giving birth to Jesus? Miracles are messy. There's a mess in the miracle. But I remember one of the things that they told her to do was, hey, now that the baby's out, put your baby on your heart so that your baby can hear your heartbeat. And when I think about that, I think about Jesus and how Jesus invites us to be at a place where our hearts can be in alignment with his. He says, I want to be close to you. Him coming as a baby was intentional, y'all. It wasn't coincidental. He could have came out of heaven with a sword and went to work on this whole earth. But he came as a baby. Gentle and mild. Some of y'all know the song. Away in the manger. Little baby Jesus. As Ricky Bobby would say, little baby Jesus. Some of y'all know about Ricky Bobby. But he's here. I wonder if the shepherds held Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder if they went to Mary, hey, is it okay if we hold? Because how crazy would that be? They're dirty people. But yet Jesus allows them to get close. Isn't that a miracle? That he's not allergic to our dirt. He invites us in spite of it. I know you feel like your life is messed up and you just made a mess of your life. But I want to let you know that out of a mess comes a miracle. that he is the master at managing the mess. And here's the last thing I want to share, and then we're done because we got another service. I love here how it shows us how joy is not just personal, and how joy is not just accessible, but how joy is also portable. It's portable, meaning it's mobile. Meaning that joy is not just limited to one place. You can take joy with you. Y'all remember I mentioned about the bundle pack. You know, one of the things I love about Disney Plus is you can get this bundle pack, and the one thing that you get this option of, and we learned this very well, especially in the pandemic, because everything was streaming, is you have the capability to stream from wherever you are. Some of y'all be streaming at work. Boss, come in. But you watching Netflix. Because you're able to stream from wherever you are. Can I give you some encouraging news about the joy of Jesus? You're able to take it wherever you go. And no matter what situation you find yourself in, it can be with you. How do I know this? Because here's what the Bible says around verse 20. It says the shepherds, they returned. Where did they return? To the very place where the angels found them. A dark place. The shepherds returned. And how did they return? Glorifying, verse 20, and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. What did they see and hear? They saw King Jesus. What did they hear? They heard how he had came into the world as the Messiah to save them from their sins, but to save all of humanity from theirs. What did they experience? They experienced the heavenly host. They had an encounter with Christ. They had an experience with Jesus. The shepherds were rejoicing because of what they had just experienced with Jesus. And our biggest prayer coming into today's service for those online and for those of us who are here today is not that you would just come to a service, but that you would actually come and experience Jesus. That you would come and be able to get a peek at his goodness and at his love and at his mercy and at his faithfulness. That you will be able to walk out of this service coming with joy and leaving with happiness and leaving praising God because of the things that you have seen and the things that you have heard and the things that you have experienced. And I love it because, y'all, they go back to the same occupation that they had. Their job had not changed, but their lives had changed. Relationship status may not have changed, but their lives were changed. Their income level may not have changed, but their lives had changed. And I'm here to let us know that the joy of Jesus may not change where we are, but it always changes who we are. And when you get the joy of Jesus down on the inside of you, it changes how you see things. It changes how you live your life. It changes how you walk through life. And Jesus says, I want you to go through life full of joy. Not because life is always good, but because he is always good. And I know some of us right here, it's hard to smile today because of things that you walk through. But I want to let you know that the reason why you can smile is not because of your life's circumstances, but it's because of your life's Savior. He came, y'all, to a dark place to redeem us and to set us free. And I want to pray in this moment for those of us who are here in person, discouraged, online. You've walked through so much. You've endured so much. I want to let you know that Jesus came to bring you joy. Jesus came to bring you strength. The scripture says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength in times of discouragement. Strength in times of confusion. Strength in times of loss. Strength in times of doubt. Strength in times of worry. Strength in times of lack. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I know some of us in here, you're low on joy in this season. The Christmas carols have done nothing for your spirit this season. The Christmas movies have done nothing for your spirit this season. But I'm here to let you know that there is someone who can change how you feel. He can change how you live. He can change what you're dealing with. He can change how you see it. And his name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. And as the angel says, he is born and he has come, and he has come to make people new. And he has come to give hope, and he has come to give life. Jesus is the bundle of joy. And I want to let you know that you got a God named Jesus who will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always. And he says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So in this moment, I want to pray just with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today, maybe you're watching online, and you're far from Jesus, you don't know him, you haven't said yes to him, you haven't received him, you haven't believed in him. He says that he gives life to all of those who would believe in him and what he came to do. That when you trust in him, when you give him your life will change. You'll receive his joy. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask us an honest question. I'm not going to have you come up to the front. I'm not going to have you do anything awkward, but I do want to ask that you would respond to this. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I need Jesus. I need to receive him. I'm not talking about like coming to church. I'm talking about having a relationship with him. You can come to church and not know him. But if you're here today, you say, Pastor Edwin, I want to know him. No matter what your age is, no matter who you are, you want to be in relationship with him. You want to have your sins forgiven. You want to receive his joy while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If this is you, would you just raise your hand just where you are? I just want to see you. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. If you're here, you want to receive him as Lord. And if you raise your hand, if you're ready to make the decision to give him your life today, I want to invite you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for coming to earth to save me. Thank you for the joy that you give. Thank you for new life. In your name I pray. Amen. Can we put our hands together and celebrate the joy of Jesus today? His goodness.